Let's talk about someone who does good. His name is Geert Van Sail. He is the CEO at Knife Capital. Him and Andrea Bomert do phenomenal work. And the reason why I'm chatting to Geert Van Sail today is because when we talk COVID, all we think of would be people looking at their business models they had before, going up in smoke, not sure how they're going to innovate, et cetera, et cetera. And there's lots of sorrow out there. Let's not get away from the fact that there's a lot of sorrow. There is. But there is hope in between all of the ashes as well. So we're going to be chatting to Kit about his journey. Started working with Mark Shuttleworth and HBD, Heavy Dragons, managed that fund for Mark. They've obviously do what they call, I'm trying not to do this stupid business talk, but anyway, pivot. They moved on to Knife Capital and KNF. So I'm going to get Kit to explain all of this in English. Great to have you on the show, Kit.
Thanks, Kino. Yeah, it seems like there's a lot more empathy needed these days in this country. Huh?
Yes, but let me tell you, I'm hypertensive, and then you get calls like that, and then I have to actually ask Wally to bring my tablets again. But anyway. Kit, let's talk about your journey. You've marked 10 years. We'll talk about that. But where did this particular journey start? You used to be an investment banker, I believe, or working in that space.
Yeah, I've always been sort of more on the funding side of things, and in private equity and banking and so forth. But it was for me more, you know, closer to the action, really helping the entrepreneurs that sort of kind of had my interest. And then the opportunity came up to work with Mark Shuttleworth, who's obviously one of South Africa's most successful technology entrepreneurs, to join that team and at Heavy Dragons, HBD. That was in 2006-07. And that's where I met Eben. I mean, to make a long story short, you know, in 2010, opportunity came up for us to actually switch our salary slips for a management contract, meaning we started our own business and approached Mark and said, listen, can we walk out with a soft landing and manage this fund for upside rather than just sort of work for you? And he liked that entrepreneurial spirit. And since then, it's been a hard 10 years, man. Building a venture capital business is still building a good old business. You know, the fundamentals are just as hard out there as it is for any other SME, you know.
So upside, by the way, is they don't get paid a salary at the end of the day, but there are the fees, management fees, etc. And if there's an exit, you get a bit of a piece of the pie as well. Now, before we talk, I always call him Mr. Chacharach, but I love Vuyusat Kabaka. He wants to say hi to you, Geert Van Sail. I'm going to ask Joe to put the two of you on together. Hi, Vu.
Hi, Kino. Hi, everybody. Hi, Geert. I just want to commend. I mean, this is a massive milestone that I think we can't really, today we probably won't appreciate. Probably will appreciate it more as time goes on. But yeah. What Geert and Eben and the team at Knife have achieved for not only South Africa, but for the continent is a big testament of the potential what we have for investment in startups and technology companies in this country. So I just want to commend Kino, send some commendations to Geert and Eben for a massive milestone of 10 years of being in business. It's not easy, but congratulations to them.
Yeah, and a better bunch of people you'll find. It'll be very hard to find a more gesellig, better bunch of people. And I mean, I think their philosophy is they don't deal with idiots either. So,
Thanks, Boo. I mean, the great thing about this ecosystem, Kino, obviously the main players are actually the entrepreneurs and the startups. Yeah. You know, the funders at the end of the day are the commodity. You know, so you have to bring more than the money to the table. And yeah, colorful characters like Boo keep us on the straight and narrow, specifically when it comes to asking tough questions about diversity of the industry and so forth. So,
exactly.
You know, it is a rising tide of team effort, you know, and everyone chips in. So there's quite there's so many people that's been part of our journey, indirectly or directly, or just cheering from the sidelines.
Indeed. And Vu is colorful in more than just his personality, his jackets as well. Vu, you also do a lot of good work on the ground, sir. So lots of respect to you And thanks for calling in.
Yeah. I mean, they've done research for a VC ecosystem, so we'll be watching, and I'm looking forward to hearing the interview as well. Good night.
Okay, great. Yeah, we're going to tell the story of, you know, the last 10 years, and also what does that speak to, or what is just the work that they've done. How does that speak to where we find ourselves at the moment? I think we've all agreed, Kit, that small micro enterprises, medium enterprises will be the way of getting us out and supporting them effectively. And we'll get to that particular question. So you guys took the leap. Mark said, yeah, sure. Run your own business. You can manage the capital. And let's talk about some of the stories that stand out over the last 10 years. Some of the worst decisions you've made, some of the best decisions you've made.
I think some of the best decisions we've made is just the partners we got on board. You know, we early on realized that two emancipated accountants, Eben and I, who've never actually run our own business before, is probably need some pizzazz and some marketing expertise and biz dev in our team. And Andrea Bowman came on board as a partner early on within the first year or so. So that was one of our better decisions. Later on, and if we fast forward a few more years, you know, I went to university with Bob Skinstad. He wanted to do something a little bit more in the entrepreneurial space. And that culminated in us actually launching in London with a family offices that he's connected to there. Even we moved over that side. So again, one of our best decisions were just partnering with the right people and realizing that we need to play to our strengths and leave the rest to people who are better than us than doing those things. You know, and every decision on partnerships that we've really seriously considered. I mean, we don't call a partner lightly. Have been some of our best decisions. I think the other thing is, and that's more a little bit of luck and timing. Yep. You have to position yourself in that. But, you know, it is easy to invest. You know, at some level, you manage to scrape together a few rand. Look at companies as soon as you put your hand up, and especially currently, and say, listen, I've got some money to invest, then startups come, you know. But that's not the way to do it. You need to actually get out there and build the ecosystem, build the credibility. But for us, it's all about the cycle. It's easy to invest, very difficult to exit. So the way venture capital business works is that you have to take that through the cycle of finding good investments, making a good investment, meaning due diligence and methodologies, valuation, make sure that you kind of have a good rapport with the entrepreneur. And then the hard work starts of adding value in the growth phase. But for what? You know, why are we growing these businesses? I think a lot of entrepreneurs actually don't ask themselves that question. And we very much believe every journey ends. You know, at some point, it'll be your last day at Cape Talk. Someday, it'll be my last day at Knife Capital. And entrepreneurs specifically, you know, they're so involved in the building phase that the exit or the next phase, whether it's just dividends or strategy or leaving it for your kids or whatever. But we've been lucky there that we really have had some early good exits in terms of, you know, Fundamo, Hannes van Rensburg and the guys. We had a big stake there too. And that was a $110 million exit to Visa, and you have exit businesses to Garmin, to General Electric. And then, you know, about a year and a half ago, one of our businesses to Uber. So I think the fact that it's almost like the 4-minute mile, you know, once you've done it once, it's almost proving it to yourself that it can be done.
Yep.
And in that, we actually wrapped up that HBD fund very nicely with successful exits, a great return for Mark. And at the end of the day, that track record helped us to, I mean, it took a much longer, and it's still very difficult to get institutional capital behind this space. It's mostly individuals and angel investors. Yep. And again, people that we partner with on a more one-to-one basis. That have backed us. And yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have the credit lines to do what we do. But for us, it's about the cycle, not just the investment.
Absolutely. And I'm gonna pretend I know exactly what you're saying there. just kidding. Kit, so a lot of people would argue it's easy to invest in businesses that have traction. You can, you know, look at their financial statements. You can look at the customers that they potentially will sign. You can look at the market. You can do all those other stuff, right? You do your due diligence and all that sort of stuff. And it's easy to do that. But what role would people such as yourself have to play when it comes to, you know, building those smaller micro enterprises, because this is where your relationship with the SME fund comes in, because that's run by Kitso Gordon, I think, yeah? And there's it's government, it's business, it's labor, and I think more than R1 billion put into the kitty. And this is not government spending the money. Government saying, well, you guys understand, you're part of the ecosystem, you know what's happening on the ground. You need to spend this money, and we are looking at, you know, getting what we need in this country in order to grow GDP, which is getting the Entrepreneurship Act up and running in South Africa, which is very difficult at the moment. So tell us a little bit about your relationship with the SASME Fund.
Yeah, it stems on the principle, Kino, that this is risk capital, you know, so there is definitely an element of, it's difficult to convince conservative investors that they must back a VC fund in South Africa where there's limited, you know, successes in terms of I mean, many entrepreneurial successes, but limited venture capital fund successes. There's lack of experience with fund managers and those type of things. So the 12J, Section 12J of the Income Tax Act catalyzed some private individuals to put money behind SMEs in this space because they get a tax break. Similarly, the SASME Fund was, you know, part of the CEO initiative, and a couple of the big businesses came together. Adrian Gore and Brian Joffe and these guys led the charge and said, well, listen, let's sort of, I mean, it's difficult for each one of us to back the space in a big way, but let's just sort of almost crowdsource this with the biggest corporates in South Africa, put it behind an SASME fund. They managed to sort of raise R1.3 billion. And Kitso took charge of allocating those funds, you know, and to date they've backed 13 funds, you know, 7 of them in the venture capital space.
Yeah.
You know, they had a combination of 1 or 2 people that are experienced, like Knife and 4DI Capital, and then they backed 5 first-time fund managers.
Wonderful.
And not only that, I mean, one of the challenges we all have is we need more Black Knife Capitals, you know, run by female entrepreneurs, all that. So they really launched in conjunction with SAFCA, a fund manager development program.
Yep.
They backed some accelerators in the early stage university technology fund. So they fully deployed that that capital, debt funds, and that. So it was a very much a mix of very carefully selected combination of experience, combination of VC debt and others, and then combination of adding quite a lot of money behind the development of fund managers, you know, which Knife Capital essentially is. We manage funds on behalf of people, and that skill is, you know, you have to hone it or develop it in a way. So I must say, you know, that's I'm a big supporter. It hasn't been easy, and there's been, you know, some criticism through the years. It took longer than it should be, and it should be. I mean, it's only a drop in the ocean, and all this. Oh, there's a formidable team behind it doing great work. So well done to them.
So what about the micro entrepreneurs? The SME fund, I would imagine, doesn't look at the micro entrepreneur. I mean, you still need a little bit of traction there, don't you?
Lots of traction. So the two big gaps in South African equity funding ecosystem. And what I mean by equity funding, like if you have something, a house to bond, or a dad that can sign surety, or something. You know, you've got a better chance of finding traditional capital streams. You know, but if you are a young entrepreneur with nothing but a great idea and a little bit of traction behind you, which is momentum, and chutzpah, like what do you do? You can't actually access capital because the banks are saying, listen, what's your affordability? What's your security? Oh, nothing. Sorry. So the gap that we have in South Africa really is at the seed stage, you know, where entrepreneurs actually start. And how do they get that funding in the beginning? You know, because the only way to get that money is either from your so-called 3 Fs, friends, families, and fools, that basically are daring enough to just throw some money at you. And that's a big relationship game. And then the other gap is sort of what we're finding in South Africa is once these companies are through a bit of early stage funding and that to really give them significant capital to scale internationally. Mm. So in our speak, it's sort of Series B funding. But yeah, what can one do in that township entrepreneurship element, or the younger entrepreneurs, or the SMMEs and the micros? I mean, if we can solve that, you know.
You know, I mean, I was asked, I had to do a paper recently on the Small Business Act, and especially looking at 2003 when the Advisory Council was brought on board, and we know 2004 CEDA started, and, you know, CEDA have really good people working there, but You know, in the paper, what I said was the challenge with a CEDA and a CIFA, right? So CIFA does the funding. CEDA, of course, does a lot of the development for entrepreneurs, and especially at that's in that space that you were talking about, is that, you know, if you look at the reporting structures, if you look at how complicated it is, the fact that they've got to liaise with government, it makes it a very slow animal. And I actually made a suggestion that you should collapse CEDA, collapse CIFA, take that money, add another mandate to the SME fund and call it the SASMME fund. Yeah. And have people at the base, because that fund that you are part of is managed by an independent board. Yes, it's got government representation, etc., but it's an independent board. It works a lot quicker and swifter than a traditional government-run institution. And if that extra mandate was put in there and you had people with the skills to find, and just think about it. If you're as part of that SMME fund, and let's say, I don't know, BP is part of that, you can start creating opportunities in BP's supply chain, non-core, for those small enterprises to go into. You can fund them with that money that, that would have gone to CIFA and CEDA, and you can help get that business to build traction. I mean, I don't know. I'll probably get 40% for the paper, but you know, we need to look at. We need to try and find solutions.
I'll give you an A for that one, Kino. Yeah, I mean, exactly. So if you, it's not just the financing industry. If you think about broader industries, you know, the fact that government can't do everything, and the credibility and their timelines and the things, just the red tape that they have to adhere to. So you can't actually even. Criticize them for it. It's just that it's public money and it needs to be handled. But if you have lots of independent people or a fund of funds, which is what the SSME fund is essentially is, something like that, that has governance, oversight, proper guys. I mean, you know, Michael Jordan is the chairman there. So, you know, I think there's people that really have been through Business South Africa. And remember, in that fund specifically, more than 50% of those funds are targeted going at black entrepreneurs.
Yep.
So one can really put the rules down and then measure the performance of the underlying private fund managers against that performance, you know, and then the skill set is just much more honed. You know, what the problem is with entrepreneurship finance in South Africa is it's kind of one catch-all word, you know, and as yes. you've now also unpacked, you know, the kind of businesses that are nice capital, scalable, international, high growth, traction, those type of words is not something that someone who just needs a 200,000 rand contract to get to the next step in his procurement of cleaning services, you know, and those entrepreneurs, I mean, the SMEs, it is the heartbeat, but it's not necessarily the venture capital entrepreneurs. I mean, they have multiplier effect, they're high growth and they inspire.
Yeah.
But I mean, our success as a country lies with the SMEs, just the guy who employs a few people and wants to grow his business and plow his trade or her trade, you know. So I think that is definitely, but you need people with that particular skill to focus on that particular sector. And not, in my opinion, and your opinion clearly on your paper, that government needs to just lay the playing field and the rules out, but they shouldn't go out and bat.
Yeah, no, indeed. And I've got a call here from Roy. I mean, he asks a question you've probably been asked 100 million times, but I still think it's a good one to ask. Roy in Simonstown, good morning.
Hi, hello, Kino. I'm hearing lots of acronyms, things like angel investors and finance houses and SMEs.
Yeah.
It's to corporates and
absolutely.
On Cape Talk earlier on in the week, I heard a guy from Athlone who's a leather worker. He's got a trade. He's employing about half a dozen people. He can't get funds from the government because he was either too late or it was too complicated. He's sitting there. He's half a dozen workers and his family are starving. What is your guest going to do to help this particular person? And I'd also like to know, what particular companies, like this particular guy in Athlone, he's uplifted to become a profitable and productive company in the workplace, other than hearing about input from Adrian Gore and finance managers and funds of funds? They mean nothing, actually.
You know, and you're right about all the acronyms and losing people, and even I get lost in between some of these conversations, right? And I'm going to get Kurt to respond, but Roy, you know, it takes all of us to create an opportunity for that particular worker. If you look at what Robbie Brosen did, and I mean, Robbie Brosen, the founder, of course, of Nando's. And if you look at how inside Nando's he sells art and furniture, and if you hear the story of the lady who started making uniforms for Nando's, she has an office at their head office, but they make clothes for everybody in Nando's. There's someone who has a micro enterprise which has been enabled by a bigger enterprise or a bigger company. Let's stop using the term enterprise. Kit?
Yeah. So, Roy, I think the how to help those entrepreneurs or that particular entrepreneur, firstly, you know, that value proposition of whatever it is, which basically is this: the purpose of the business, what do they actually do, and the target market they target for their trade or for their product or service, need to just be well and clearly understood. Because if one can help mentor, and there's many mentors out there that mentor all sorts of businesses, and we connected to a lot of them, to basically just get that right, because then you can match that with the mandate of the funds, which basically means the rules of the funds that target those businesses. So that could be, in this case, maybe Business Partners, which does really good work at with those type of entrepreneurs. It could be Spartan Equity Finance, or Spartan Loan Finance, that does things more in terms of a loan. You know, for us, you know, we have to pick up that in the slice of the so-called entrepreneurial value chain where we are good at, and we're not necessarily good at that, but we are good at pointing those entrepreneurs into the directions, because it's better, you know, for our branding and for our conscience to say to an entrepreneur like that, look, we can't help because we look at these are our rules in terms of what our investors want us to achieve. However, speak to X, Y, or Z. But in order to do that, I need to clearly know where to point them. And it starts with the value proposition and the target market, good product, and someone who can execute those three things.
And good networks. I mean, your own brand, KNF, is Knowledge Networks Finance, in that order.
Yeah, I think we also had to really look at our value proposition to entrepreneurs. You know, they are, as I said, the key player. And for us, it's, we don't want to just be the check, you know, it's like, okay, exactly. Well, I need money, let's go there. You know, so money, funding is not as important as clients. And how do you get clients and build a good business is through the knowledge of how to do so, and then through the networks to get to the next client. Market access, it's what it's all about. And that particular entrepreneur that Roy was referring to, for him, it's all about market access. If he can get enough clients, and then it goes broader than that. You know, we're quite involved in policy and the ecosystem on the board of the venture capital associations and all that. So there's a lot we do to help those entrepreneurs, but, you know.
Yeah, and listen, we've seen the great work that you guys have done over 10 years. I mean, we're not going to knock the big exits, etc. The country needs it. I definitely think the country needs it. And you yourself said it. It's about that missing little bit at the bottom, and someone just needs to get innovative there. But I want to just echo what Vu had to say earlier. Well done to you and the team. You guys have been boxing smart. I know that you care about entrepreneurs, especially those micro-entrepreneurs, even though, you know, your mandate or your rules don't allow for you to fund them necessarily. And that fight, of course, is going to continue. But well done on the 10 years, Kit.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we don't fund them, but we develop them.
Absolutely.
Through our accelerator, grindstone. And all that. But thanks, everyone.
Yep.
It's a good feeling to nostalgic to look back. It's been hard, but we're not there yet. I mean, you know, we're still building.
Yeah.
But 10 years, the next 10 years, let's chat in 2030, Kino, on your show then.
Kit, always a pleasure. Thank you, and we need more South Africans like you. Thank you very much.